These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
All right, let's dive into it. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle, and I'm not well.
Michelle is unwell, and I also don't feel great, but I feel so excited and buoyed, B-U-O-Y-E-D, with all of the Bravo excitement that's happening. It's kind of a Bravo sauce of gossip, and that's why it's taken us a little longer to get to the past 2 weeks OC recaps and last week's Salt Lake City recap, but we're bringing them to you live. From Dallas.
It's Monday afternoon.
Monday at lunch.
It's almost as good as that other one.
Yeah. Although I've heard SNL. Terrible debut.
Really?
Stinker of a premiere. It's not happening for NBC the way it is for Bravo.
It's not
this
all
fall
happening
season.
For
it's not
them.
Popping off and, in the same way.
I don't, you know what? Fuck you, Saturday Night Live. Why are you hiring all these people that, like, nobody knows?
And all these, like, yeah, like, try, like, it's so Lorne being out of touch, trying to be cool, being like, oh, yeah, let me hire some Brooklyn comedy TikTok star.
I'm up with the trend. Shut up, Lorne. You old fart.
Go back to the groundlings.
You know, Heather Dubrow's there, dumbass.
Yeah, Heather, honestly, would be a great
Let's get her, you know, a featured featured player.
Yeah, featured player.
Oh, my God. I want to see her as a featured player. And then one day we see maybe her headshot move from here.
To here. She moves to the beginning of the credits.
And we'll see her in that. Do stuff like that.
Yeah, posing. Yeah, I can just picture her intro. It's like her pretending to bite into a bagel, but she doesn't fully Audrey Hepburn style. Like, no.
It is.
Okay, yeah, let's get into it. We have OC episode 14, Hoedown Throwdown. And we also, we did not recap episode 13, which was the Funfetti cake party.
And we don't have to.
But we'll just go over what happens. It's like Tamara's cake decorating party. Tamara's like in her good girl drag, her like, you know, Gretchen pink cardigan and flowered
I'm
sheath
an
dress.
Innocent girly.
I'm a baby. Gotta love me.
Who's the baby? I'm the baby.
The baby. And she continues her attempt to like be the Shannon of the season where she quits like 6 times. She tries to screams at Heather and Emily and are like, you guys are not good friends to me.
I'm a baby.
How dare you? I'm a baby. How can you not trust baby?
Yeah, look at my little cutout dress. Baby
innocent. I think Tamara was also, in her defense, using this as an excuse to meet up with Katie and bring this whole Gretchen storyline fight full circle because, like, we all know Gretchen is, like, clearly lying.
Dumb.
Clearly lying. Not Katie. I don't know why we're continuing this farce.
It's gone on far too long.
But yeah, finally we're wrapping it up and finally we're getting Katie back this episode.
We're getting Katie, but it is funny. The Funfetti episode.
I want my Katie back, Katie back, Katie back, Katie back.
I want my Katie back, right?
Katie! Katie's confused. Oh, and then also, yeah, Jin's son gets a tattoo on camera and has a seizure.
Hey, now. That's a little Lauren Davis coded.
Kind of I know. I was like, they should maybe like do like a trigger warning for us seizure babies. Well, like,
yeah, because we'll get warnings that we could have a seizure when we watch, you know, shows or movies that have a lot of flashing lights or Gretchen on screen and her bright ensembles.
Yeah, so, exactly. And like seizures can be triggered by seeing someone have
seizures. It's much like if you hear somebody vomiting, it makes you want to vomit.
It's like you can have a whole seizure torium.
Lauren
like
and I just go back and forth.
Back and forth,
back
you know.
Back and forth forever.
Tonic, clonic. Okay, so let's get into OC episode 14, Hoedown Throwdown. Uh-huh. So we start with a little fun editing. We have like the But we have like the foreshadowing, the big plop, scene plop, of the Tamara plop, Katie plop, meetup.
Somebody's feet.
We see Katie's shoes clop.
Guess
clop.
What, you guys? This just in, Quentin Tarantino directed this shot. He loves feet, is what I'm saying.
Loves feet.
Famously.
Yeah, that would be so crazy if it was Katie walking barefoot.
I know. Quentin. Ugh.
Down the street. So Tamara says to Katie, they meet up at like some dark bar in the daytime. It's very deep throat.
I'll have a Chardonnay, Tamara, in the darkly cavern.
Yeah, I think they didn't go full. I wish they had gone full, like, reveal who she's meeting up with later. Like, she's going to talk
Kaiser
with
somebody,
you know. That would be more exciting. Like, who will it be?
The person we saw?
The anonymous source
name
be?
Of the episode or the description of the episode before I put it on?
I feel like they should have gone full camp with this. But okay, and then Tamara's like, I just want to know the truth. And Katie's like, either Slade is her mouthpiece or Gretchen's really, really good. Okay, and we're like, this is also not a cliffhanger. It's like, obviously,
yeah,
Slade
I know.
Is her mouthpiece.
It's like, she's Katie's not, never going to really give you a cliffhanger. She's just like, here's what's going on. She'll never be like, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, either Gretchen is an incredible housewife who's so talented, or she and Slade are working together. It's
we know. She'd be like, I don't know. She'll never.
I don't know. Yeah.
She's not really full of mystery.
No, she's not. She's really trying her hardest. And, you know, she really is. And that counts for something. Someone who's also trying. Is Emily, who meets up with Gretchen, again, dressed like Honey Boo Boo.
This is so funny, though, as soon as Emily sees her. They're at some, like, boutique or whatever. You know how housewives just...
They're designing hats.
Yeah, and cowboy hats. And Gretchen is...
Kemosabe much?
Okay, but, Emily sees Gretchen in her full, like, she's, like, dressed like a... She says, you look like an Easter egg. She's wearing, like, ribbon in her hair and, like, a prairie home companion dress.
But it's also very, like, gauzy and poof.
Yeah, it looks like a
sleeves,
bridesmaid's
like,
dress from, like, 1984.
Yeah, or, like, a child. It's like a child's pageant. Yeah. Like, everything
it's
is child
Jean
pageant
Benet.
With her.
She's so
JonBenet. JonBenet Rossi. Mm. Yeah.
A foreign faction wrote that joke.
I know someone has to have said that before, but
that's the name.
I can't be the first.
That's the name of the episode.
That's the real title of it. So then they're like, Gretchen's. They're talking about like this innocent project hoedown is why they're decorating
also,
the hats.
One, the Innocence Project is a great organization too. Just so funny that Emily's like, I want to talk about.
Well, it's not clothes. It's not the Innocence Project. It's the Innocent Center.
Okay.
But I Googled it, and it's not like a homeless, not toothless type thing. It is a little bit of a cheater brand.
I still stand
in terms
by what I said, that the Innocence Project
yes.
is a great organization. The Innocence Center,
right.
I don't know.
I know. Exactly. We're all like, it actually does totally seem above board. But like the fact that Emily's involved with it, we're still a little bit like, what
it's
if it's,
a little shaky.
You know, exonerating Jelaine? I don't
know.
Yeah.
Well, because also like Emily being like, I don't practice law. So I help them, which is the closest I can get to practicing law. It's like, it's giving Persian New Year in terms of like, this doesn't make sense, girly.
Yeah,
volunteers for a charity.
Right, but I do appreciate that, like, it seems like a charity that's really doing good work
from what we know so far.
And the fact that she's, you know, it's like, I would much rather her use her storyline for this than like, it's for good instead of for evil. So I appreciate that from her. So speaking of evil, Emily like is recounting the cake decorating party stuff and that Tamara's going to meet with, you know, Katie and that she's mad. And then Gretchen, instead of like being grateful to Emily that, you know, she's still like shooting with her and being on her side despite how annoying and badly dressed Gretchen is. She starts attacking Emily. She pulls out like an article and is like, you were part of this. I'm guessing they wouldn't show us the article. I'm guessing it's the Jeff Timmons, like 98 Degrees article that came out on like All About Reality.
This is getting to be like the Kevin Bacon, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. This is 98 degrees
of Jeff Timmons.
Yeah, Jeff Timmons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I thought it was odd that like they didn't even show us what. But I mean, we don't need to know what it is or even really care to know that like Gretchen is
an idiot
already, like alienating her co-stars, when it's like you could have maybe, as much as we didn't want to see it, you could have maybe made it back onto the show because they want someone to make Tamara look less bad. Like, you really had a pat.
Anything else that she can literally talk about?
Yeah,
like why she dresses like a moron.
But that's the thing, is that she is just such a victim complex. That's all of her. And she's so used to that actually working for her 17 years ago on the show, where her brain is frozen in time.
And we have to hear and about so one she, thing that happened on the show 17 years ago, and she still can't get that shit right.
And yeah, and she's talking to Emily, thinking that she's talking to like Vicky, who's been bullying her. It's like, no, Emily has been nothing. Way too patient with you. She has been talking about pushing your storyline.
By the way, Emily's about to put Tamara in the innocence center with your lies, Gretchen.
She's about to be exonerated.
We're gonna do a hoedown to exonerate Tamara at the innocence center.
Yeah, see how that works out for you. You're spitting in the face of your fake lawyer, like you did in this scene. We'll see at the end.
I did like Gretchen's weave in the last scene, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. And meanwhile, Tamara is having a pity party as well, where she was also fighting to be the victim narrative with Gina and Heather, and they're both apologizing to her and like
moaning into her game. Like, everyone is trying to be.
They all want to be Shannon.
It's like, no, we already have a moaning Myrtle. We don't need anymore.
Yes, you can't. You simply
screaming, like, Tamara. We don't need you crying unless you're screaming, Tamara, to the point of crying.
Yeah, it's like, Tamara, you're a quarterback. Yeah. Okay, we want you playing offense.
You're supposed to be knowing everything that's happening on the field.
You need to be carrying the ball down the
field.
You
call the plays.
You can't just be like, look at me.
Yeah, catch
whatever
football stuff.
Yeah, you can't be like crying over a fake injuries, fake autism.
You don't have
Tom Brady? Yes, Tom Brady isn't tapping himself out and being like, fake autism.
Yeah.
You know, even if Giselle wants him to. Heather is like, look, I'm really sorry. I said I didn't trust you. Da, da, da. And Tamara is still like,
that's when she's good, though.
That's when she's good. When she's full two middle fingers. The idea of like both of these scenes intercut, like we're seeing a lot on OC, is that like Gretchen and Tamara are both playing the same housewives game this season, and it's like a strong case that they're both bucking the shit out of us and they're co-stars.
Yeah.
That like, we really can't
have
both
these bitches.
Yeah, it's just too exhausting. So then we've got the dog psychic scene. I honestly, if I was rich, I would love a dog psychic.
I love this. I really
loved it too. We needed more like this.
So fake, but I really liked her. She was like clearly bamboozling these gals.
I loved how Shannon was really putting her through her paces.
Yeah,
she was like, okay, if you're gonna be like exploitative of rich, like lonely women and their dog relationships, she had like a full doc, multiple pages.
She had real questions. Also, like the fact that Archie's the only dog not in the room with them. He's like, I don't want to be with all these women. He's sitting outside.
The dramatic tension of like, is Archie gonna spill about the DUI? Was like. Yeah. Peak drama. It's like, oh my gosh, is he gonna talk about it? No, he didn't.
He kept, he knows when to shut up.
Yeah. It's so, what was funny to me is when she was like, well, one thing that was funny was that like Jen has like two of like, I guess like seven dogs and she runs a small farm.
I had no idea about this. She was like talking about like, I have a farm. And I was like, you do?
You do?
And she, yeah, has all these dogs and stuff. And I was like, it's just, I thought she had seven kids.
Maybe that's what she means.
Like,
what
she's like, I have a farm
of children.
Okay. Yeah, she's like, they're like her. I don't know. Her and Ryan are basically the Von Trapps.
Yeah. Yes.
They need a nun to come in here and fix things.
They need a nun nanny. Get some Jesus in there. Yeah. So and then Shannon's questions were also really funny. Where it's like he's scared of boxes and plastic.
Can
bags.
Can you answer that for
and
me?
She's like. And it's like, well, obviously, like, boxes means, like, moving. Like, my dog, even the one who isn't smart, like, when we get our suitcases out, they're like, and then plastic bags are loud. They're scared of, like, the noise. She's asking stuff. All of her questions, like, can be Googled.
Yeah. And the second they're not even, like personal. Have you moved a lot?
She's like, oh, yeah. And anyway, the psychic, like, talks her into getting a second dog.
Yeah, and Shannon's like, okay, Archie, I'll get you a brother. And then then Jen's like, your mom's having a baby.
They're a good duo.
Yeah, they are. And then Jen, like, she doesn't really have any questions for the psychic, but the psychic is like, does your dog like to be held? She's like, yeah. And she wants to be in a stroller. Jen's like, she's fat. She doesn't need to be in a stroller. She needs to be on a diet.
She needs Doc Ozempic. She's a loaf. It is fun to diss dogs because it's
they don't know what's going on.
They don't care.
You think Archie gives a fuck? No, he doesn't even want to be in the same room with these bitches.
Speaking of people who don't know what's going on, bang, bang, bang goes the gun.
Until
the devil has his fun.
That was incredible. I never know what fucking music is playing, but this one stuck with me.
Yeah, this was very like so Traitors song. They're like, this show does well. Let's do some spooky Trixie Mortel, or whatever it is, Tracy Ullman.
No, that's a
Trixie Monocle, I think is her name. But she does like all the Housewives songs. But I was like, oh, this is like kind of a spooky one because Katie's kind of
spooky. Except like, she's like, hi, let me tell you everything that's happening. You don't need to be scared. Hi, it's me, Katie.
It's me, Katie. Katie and Tamara sit down. Katie talks about how she was hurt by Jen. Jen tried to call her a few times. She didn't answer. Mm-hmm. She's been crying. And Tamara says, you know, I don't think Katie is a sociopath calculated liar.
Thank you. Which is,
no one's buying it.
To say about your coworker too. You're not like, she's a good gal. Like, I like her. She's fun. Like her complimenting Katie is being like, you know what? I don't think she's a sociopath.
Yeah, I don't think she's a diagnosed antisocial personality. She's just a little awkward.
Weird. She has autism like me.
Katie says, Tamara's wanting to get to the bottom of the Gretchen drugging because it was like story. Because clearly Gretchen was caught on camera being inconsistent.
Oh my God.
Just like Katie was. Katie clarifies Gretchen said Tamara drugged her that night at Mastro's. Slade called Matt and said, stick to the story after Katie, like, told the blogger and it came out to the group. And he said, Matt, stick to the story because it's a legal issue and that could be the nail in the coffin for Katie. And she could go to jail and be fired, I guess was the threat.
I know. This is crazy.
And then Katie in her confessional goes, Slade is the root of this tornado. Mm-hmm. And then she realizes that doesn't make sense. And she goes, he's the eye of the storm. Yeah.
Which is like, sure. Okay, well, like, that's the calm part.
I love to see her buffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to see the way her mind works. She's like, it's like the way that like AI is so close to like, but it's like something's a little wrong every time. Yeah. Tamara is like, Slade does all of her dirty work. And then Katie says, Matt had all these calls from Slade and now Slade won't answer his calls and that Matt wants to sit with him on camera. And that made me realize, Michelle, do you think that like Slade is kind of like the evil mm-hmm. Matt, or like Matt is the good Slade, where it's like they're helping their flop housewife right. on camera, but like Matt does it because Katie is like genuinely needs yeah. help, and Gretchen is just a coward in her
right.
heart.
Oh, that's actually a really good analogy. I don't think that Katie would make it or understand it if we shared it with her. But I also like Matt is the better Slade because I think he has a job, right? Like a real one.
That
he has
too.
A real job. He doesn't have to be. He's just literally trying to help Katie get through scenes and not be mean to
yes.
people.
Yes, and he seems like he's so supportive. He wants. It seems like they rehearse their scenes
yeah.
together before.
He works with her. He's like, no, like you do it like this. Like when he tells her, like, okay, now this is when you can get mad.
Yes, and he's like, yeah, exactly. Or like even if it's like in the moment she's got to react to something, he'll start getting mad mm-hmm. for her so she can follow his mm-hmm. lead. And he like really believes in her, I think.
He believes in her. Yeah. Where Slade is just an idiot, asshole, dumbass.
Slade. Also,
so
it's like
slimy.
Everything.
I've never. Slade's always been disgusting to me. I hate the guy.
But there's like a new level to it now, or like a new flavor to it, where I feel like he has been listening to a lot of Manosphere podcasts, mm-hmm. where it's very like, you know, it's like he's always espousing like, well, the man controls.
Oh my god, yeah.
Philosophy.
You know, he listens to that shit. You know, his favorite. If you asked mm-hmm. him what his like favorite comedian is, he'd probably be like.
Andrew Tate,
like the Kill Tony guy.
Yes, yes. Like he's very. They're just repulsive.
We don't like you, Slade. We didn't like you 17 years ago. We don't like you now. I don't know how you and Gretchen look exactly the same either. It is odd.
It's crazy. So Heather. We see Heather at a Trevor Project fundraiser.
That is a real.
That is a real one. Real one everyone knows about. And like a really good cause. She and Terry make a $50,000 pledge. Emily says she's moved. Emily's like,
what?
Question mark with Emily. It's like she's like, oh, she's oh, like to the press. She's like, I don't regret voting for Trump. And then she's like. Seems liberal on the
yeah,
franchise.
Yeah, it is
odd.
I don't know.
None of my business.
Well, I also don't know. I'm like, how did her and Shane have like money? Because is he really a practicing attorney?
He's a trust fund baby.
Okay, because I was like, it took him like 20 years to pass the California law, like the bar exam. So
no.
I was like, what has he been doing?
No, he's a trust fund baby. And then I think like, you know, she does pretty decent dough from housewives.
Yeah.
Speaking of like politics, Vicky, did you see that Vicky said Heather is too liberal to be on Real Housewives of Orange County?
Well, Vicky. Well, but also, was Vicky wrong? I think what she meant is just to live in the OC, which is like a very republic, like a very red.
But no, but they went blue last year.
They did.
Wow.
Yeah. Laura knows all of the jurisdictions.
I do. Yeah. Gerrymandering queen.
Historically, I feel like it's very red.
Historically, they're big donor. The rich parts are big. Republican donors, like one of the biggest.
Remember
in the
our girl
nation,
Lori?
But they do flip.
Our girl Lori Peterson.
Lori,
she's
exactly.
A big Mitt Romney girl.
George Peterson, mm-hmm. yeah, was one of the biggest Republican donors himself.
And she knew exactly who Mitt Romney was. She did.
Yes. And okay, so Emily interviews the exonerees for the Innocence Project. I thought that this was neat, you know? Then there's a. Definitely. I was like, okay, this is we're really spotlighting it. I'm cool with. I would rather this be the additional content than like housewives pimping out their kids' emotional problems. I would much rather it be like spotlighting charities
instead
and nonprofits.
Instead of Emily crying at her husband to believe that their son has autism and she can't handle it.
Yeah, I can't handle that. But I can handle a line dancing night for Innocence Project. And then we have another. The music was very like front and center this episode.
I'm surprised. I usually don't even notice it.
I was like, 1, 2, 3. I've been working down on the west side, babe. It's the weekend. It's like, okay. Everyone comes in there. cowboy attire.
Oh my god, Shannon was wearing like a duster. Like it was
official gray. Like, it was very like Mick Jagger. It was very glam rock.
It was like the back of it was like, it was like to the floor kind of jean jacket thing, and it was like bedazzled on the back, like very intricate. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, Shannon, okay. Her hair looked amazing. I thought honestly.
And she brought a real friend.
Yeah, she had a real friend. Okay, I'll say this about Gretchen. She had different hair this episode, and I actually liked this hair. Maybe because it was she had a hat.
She had a hat on, yeah. She looked good. And I like how she and Slade were like dressed all in black with black hats, and I'm like, oh my gosh, iconic villain coding.
Yeah, but they were wearing crosses, like just in case, so people knew that they were not the devil.
Right. And then Tamara was black hat too. I was like, oh my gosh, everybody wore like the like color, like the black hats are villains, white hats are heroes in Westerns, and like everybody kind of like went according mm-hmm. to that. And then guess who else was there? Elizabeth Lynn Vargas, my compulsive liar
not
queen.
The 2020
from
host.
2016. No. Compulsive liar who I miss so much on Housewives. I wish they would bring her back. She's very drunk. She says that Terry looks like Colonel Sanders.
He did look weird. He looked weird.
He did. He wore the bolo. Yeah. And then she gets drunk and starts flirting with the exonerated prisoner who's making a speech.
Yeah, very not innocent what she was doing.
No, not so innocent.
Yeah, but she knows that boy was like, locked up and he's looking for fun.
Yes, a congenital
visit. You're going to get congenital warts.
She's like, I could do something for you, except for, you know, just maybe coming and donating a lot of money. I was like, oh, girl, you did not
imagine
donate a lot of money.
And Katie in scenes together.
Oh, my God. That would be...
Not that
two robots.
Innocent.
Two robots walking into
two,
each other.
Two robots
over and
walking
over
into a bar.
So the ladies are talking about Tamara meeting with Katie. Emily is pissed. Emily's like, that's it for me. Tamara explains like, look, Katie is credible to me now. Like Gretchen and Jen set her up. Like, do you not see how that's like very clear to the audience, to everyone? It's like really obvious that this is what happened. Gretchen set her up. But not to Gretchen. Gretchen's like, she's only going to Katie to team up against me, which is like also true. And Shannon's like, she's obsessed with you.
She's like, no, this is not okay.
So then they all learn line dancing with a fog machine going at 300%. Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. But like Shannon, they can't, none of them can see the actual instructor. So they don't know like what the move needs to be. And for whatever reason, when this happens, Shannon just loses her balance and falls.
Yeah. I'm surprised more people didn't get hurt.
Right. This
because
is
it's
really
like you're
fucked up. And they're drunk, yeah. And they've never done this before. They're wearing boots. Like, none of them wear boots like this. Like,
they all have big hats that can hit each other in the eyes. Like, I don't know.
Shannon's like, I'll just fall to the floor. It's easier.
I'm surprised she didn't get trampled. Stampede. Tamara is saying to Elizabeth Vargas, Slade is gross. Tamara's fake as fuck. And Elizabeth goes, yeah, no shit. And then Gretchen's looking over and she sends Slade. She's like, it's about him. I'm going to have him go. And all the ladies are like, don't. Yuck. Don't. And then Slade walks up with Gretchen. It's a showdown, a battle of the black hats, battle of the villains. And as he walks up with Gretchen, Tamara says no and walks away. Just no. Nah. No, yeah, which honestly relatable.
Yeah, that like, was so that funny that she's like, you know what, I don't want to do this right now. And guess what, we saw a surprise appearance from Eddie
who is the only person who did not bother to dress according Mm-mm. to the theme is stoned out of his mind.
He's
clearly
like, you know, he does one of these, he ends up flipping off Slade and Gretchen because Tamara is so not wanting to engage. He's like, okay, I'll just do what my wife usually
does. I'll just do it for her. Yeah, I know that's
what
she's
wanting.
That's what
she wants to do.
And Gretchen looks so bad. She's like, you can just see like her pissed. True mean spirit come out.
Run for your life, bitch, which is a crazy thing to say. They still are at a charity event.
It's great. And it's just like, she's such a wicked witch.
So hard. Yeah. She's so bad at being like wicked too. Like she's still like fumbling that. She's like, bye, bitch. Bye, you wicked bitch.
And it's like, you again, it's
run
like,
away.
God, you're like 50 years old and you still have to have Slade fight all of your battles. Like she's just such a baby
she's
of
such
a housewife.
Baby, and she's like holding Slade's hand the whole time she's doing it's weird.
And so Emily comes out, thank God, and is like, why is Slade involved? Like, if there's going to be a fight at my nonprofit, no husbands. And then Gretchen's like, well, Slade doesn't want to get involved. Like, even a producer in the talking head is like, Slade gets involved. Yeah. And Gretchen's like, he doesn't want to. It's the women talk about him. It's like, oh my God, we need some new material, Gretchen. My God. You showed us nothing new this season. Flopzilla. And then Emily's like, look, it's like aggressive. It makes sense that Tamara left because it's like a 6-foot man coming at her and like you guys bringing your whole posse.
It's
like it's an actual showdown.
It's weird.
It's weird. And then Gretchen starts screaming. This is like a Vicky style scream. She goes, it's about you to find it. And then storms off. And I really, she storms off too. And I wanted someone to be like, run bitch, run.
You wicked bitch.
And then during all of this, the line dancing has like been happening.
Yeah, there's still fog machines going. Shannon's still falling to the floor.
So, yeah, that was the episode. I feel like, again, like reflecting on the season, I really feel like it's been a much stronger season than people are giving it credit for. It's just because OC
exhausting,
is.
I feel like.
It's just a regression of it. This was the episode. This was the episode that really started to wear a little thin for me because it was so heavily Gretchen.
Right.
You know, it's like that is. Tough. I mean, we can't have both Tamara and Gretchen in there. That's like,
ooh.
But overall, I do feel like we should be more positive about the season as a whole.
Okay, so let's take a break really quick, and then when we get back, we will talk about SLC.
These girls are having a break.
And now we are covering season 6, episode 4 of Salt Lake City. Pretty Little Liars, which I can't believe has not been a title
Any Housewives episode ever.
It's got to have been one for one of them. I mean, the show was popular like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll look it up later.
And those girls are still making money off that show.
Good for them, honestly. So we pick up at the Lisa lawsuit party.
What a party.
What a party. We pick up like right in the middle of that fight in media re, as Salt Lake is wont to do. Lisa says Angie was nasty to her about her pocket, but she only owns 1.5 lunatic fringe salons and the rest are a franchise. And Angie points out, I think Angie did a really good job on this because I wasn't really believing her when she said this like earlier in the season, but she really highlights that Lisa's tactic is lying to deflect and make someone else the target. She is kind of a master of creating that dizziness and confusion like that we love so well in the franchise where it's like you never get answers to anything, but it's such a dizzying wild blowjob ride. You're like, I don't even care. And Angie's like, see, you're like trying to insult me so that we don't get to like the bottom of what I said. You're not giving us answers. And Lisa's like, it's not an insult. You took it as an insult. And Angie's like, Fresh Wolf is a sea line product that belongs in Walmart.
But I carry it.
And then it's like, but I carry it. Yeah. Out of friendship. And it's so funny. The reaction, like this kind of whole episode is about like, you never go after a kid's business.
You don't go after the children's, you don't go after a children's hair care product line.
Like as if they had anything to do with it, but it's like, no, it's my children's business. This is below the belt. And Heather's like, whoa, 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 ladies, time out. Like, not, let's not go after the children's
not
hair
fresh
care products.
Wolf. Anything but fresh wolf.
Not fresh wolf. Too far. And Heather is a good referee. She's just really good work this season, kind of slowing it down a little, making things clearer. Heather's like, look, you were unfairly attacked by the women when you weren't there the first day we were shooting. I mean, that's not true, but whatever. She chose not to show up. But you're going low to count her franchises and her money. And then Angie, you're going even lower, attacking a son's business, saying it's a sea line.
And they don't carry, they're not supposed to carry things like that in her sled. But so I will say, like, yeah, Heather is doing really good work at being a producer right now.
Yes. And like, really, like, that's kind of been my one issue with Salt Lake is like, it's so fun and entertaining, but it's like, I still just have so many questions about the women. But now it really feels like we're actually getting answers this season on top of like, you know, grade A plus entertainment. So it's really firing on all cylinders. So yeah, Heather's basically like, you're both bad. And then cut to Amy, who I guess flopped her Housewives tryout this season, just sitting silently. Yeah. And so then we get into like the, you know, therapeutic compliment language. You're fearless. Heather's also so drunk while this is going on too.
Yeah.
She's like, you're so fearless and strong, Lisa. When you're on someone's side, you feel invincible. When you're not, you feel so vulnerable. And Lisa, you're never vulnerable. Okay. Lisa's like, well, I grew up so differently from you guys. I'm like, how did she grow up differently? Because
what?
Like, but she's like, look, I love you, Angie. Like, it hurts way harder because I love you. Heather, like, sorry we got in a fight. It's harder because I love you. Bronwyn, you are also here and we'll figure it out.
You know who is there physically, but mentally, outer space?
Mare.
It's getting to the point where I'm actually getting concerned.
Well, hopefully by the end of the episode, it seems like Angie is really trying to get her to engage.
Meredith,
basically taking her by the shoulders and shaking her to
engage. She's definitely on the lawn. Allegedly, based off of what I see and hear and her doing and reacting, it's very heavily medicated.
Yeah, according to what I know in my heart for a fact.
Yes, what I know about addiction, because I've seen it firsthand, this is, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I also just think it's like, if you have, like, if you're not forced to work for it in terms of, like, being on Housewives, then a lot of times you don't. Like, if you get, you know, it's like she gets away with putting in 20% most of the time on Housewives.
She still gets a snowflake.
Yeah, so I don't really...
I'm just more concerned about
her. I don't feel... Yeah. I don't really... Because you never know with these ladies, you know? You never know if they are more medicated than usual or just deciding not
or
to try, especially with Meredith.
But always mixing it with alcohol.
True. It could be any of these
drugs
things.
And alcohol. It could be no drugs and just laziness and alcohol.
Yes. It's, yeah, that cocktail that makes
so much fun. Delicious.
A perfect. So then... Justin reinstalls Whitney's stripper pole, and Whitney says she misses being back to basics. She's like, I miss being the slutty mom on the franchise instead of the failed CEO mom on the franchise. I think this is a better branding.
Yeah, she's like, bring back the stripper pole. I've got red hair. Now I'll be a fiery redhead, a sexy redhead.
I think that, like, she did bring something more different to the franchise. In her first iteration, where she's like, okay, she's the horny, may or may not be a swinger.
Yeah, and they had it, well, because then we also learned in the first season that her and Justin, like, she was his employee, like, they had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, their whole thing is, like, they fuck like monsters,
right.
You know? And it's like, that's something, you know, we don't really get that from anyone else. That's uniquely Whitney is the trashy one.
Hot.
She is. Oh, she's totally hot. And like, yeah, I like her being the, you know, like Housewives in general can be so sex negative, like especially, you know, Lisa Barlow, which she's getting destroyed for by Bronwyn. It's like it's a great time for Whitney to rebrand as like, you know, the
sex pot
OnlyFans. Yeah. So Bronwyn and Lisa meet at the Vita event space launched last June. I just want to say, I just have to brag a little. My prediction on Bronwyn became, I think, totally true, where even though she, in her first season, it's like she was a huge fan favorite, and then she lost a lot of support from, like, Lisa stans. Yeah. But I was like, I actually think this is better because it's like she won't go through the sophomore slump. Right. It's like she's already won and lost approval. So she's like just going to continue to bring it. And that makes her, she puts her whole pussy into it every time. She is bringing it on the personal level, the fights level, the clothes level. She's just like really giving A plus work. And I think the doubters have to, you know, realize like you can love Lisa Barlow and not think she's always right in every fight. Like, are you deranged?
And honestly, like Bronwyn. Yeah. She's just a really strong housewife. Like, I mean, it really has seemed like she's been doing it for so many years at this point. But
yes.
She knows so much. Because
she really, yes. And she's so willing to be vulnerable. And she went so full throttle her first season.
Yeah.
And like, she learned so much. It was like she did a speed run.
Yeah.
Which was my other prediction. It's like she learned so much so fast because she didn't hold back. They both kind of apologize to each other for damaging things. Lisa specifically apologizes for saying that Gwen's grandparents accused Bronwyn of having a fake miscarriage on TV.
Sorry.
Which she like had refused to apologize for. Sorry about that.
Sorry, girly.
And it seems like also like you know, Lisa is willing to take the L on like Lisa. Last season was pretty much like, Bronwyn's a weirdo. We were never that good of friends. And kind of all the fans, like, believed her. And then, like, Bronwyn, like, shows the texts of, like, no, like, I intentionally wanted to share that storyline with you because we were friends off the show and we had that special moment. And then Lisa's like, okay, yeah, we were friends and I threw you under the bus. She pretty much, like, Bronwyn, like, is total, it's like Bronwyn 4, Lisa 0 at this point. But they, yeah, both decide, like Bronwyn's like, my boundary is don't say anything about Todd. Lisa's like, don't say anything about John or my kids. And Bronwyn's like, I've never said anything about your kids. And so they decide to like, they have this kind of a detente, this kind of ceasefire moving forward. So Bronwyn actually ties it in really well with her storyline where she's like, look, my mother's living with me and she is a ratchet, heinous bitch, and I don't want to be like that.
With her parents. We find out her, you know, her dad has Alzheimer's. He's in a home now. He was
her mom's living with her.
Really kind of a
we'll get into it. I mean, she's still really nice about her mom. I think she's still coming to terms with how like
Mom's going through
Mary Tyler Moore in Ordinary People, her mom is, to borrow an 80s reference, a niche film
ordinary
reference, but she's
people.
Ordinary fucking people, man. So this was fascinating, too. Mary and her cousin, Big Joe, go back to the Pentecostal temple, which has apparently been closed for 2 years because Big Joe is taking so long to install wood floors.
But we get there and, we look at the beautiful artwork on the wall.
Yeah, of Mama, which is their grandma's name. Mama and Jesus touching fingers in heaven, Sistine Chapel style.
And Mama is famous for allegedly putting in her will that she wanted Mary to have all of her money and also her husband.
Yes. And so this comes back up again, and it's the first time it's really, I feel like, we go into depth in it on the show. Usually Mary's kind of talked around it, but Mary's mom has passed recently, and her mom is the one who's always contended that Robert Sr., Mama's husband, Mary's step grandpa, like manipulated Mama to write a fake will or wrote one himself really fast, she was her daughter and was always supposed to inherit the business. And Robert Sr. like pulled a fast one and manipulated Mary so that he could control the church and keep all the assets, basically. And it's been like a big feud. There's even been like, you know, murder accusations that he maybe like they at one point they want, you know, I think her mom wanted the body unearthed for another autopsy. And so Mary finally is addressing some of this. Mary's like, after like my grandma passed, her mom took over everything. Like she's talking with Big Joe. She's like, she came in with like a crew and a plan. And then even they're still talking a little like coded, but mm-hmm. like it's clear. They're still, it's still like a nervous, tentative conversation. I don't even think they talk that much about it in real life. Where she's like, you know, mama is grandma. Mm-hmm. Mom said she was leaving. And then the police were called. And then Big Joe's like, and someone was escorted out that didn't think that they were going to leave. It's like they won't even mm-hmm. say that she had to call the cops on her mom mm-hmm. and have them escort her and her like crew, right. whoever she brought out of the, which is probably crazy. Like Mary's aunts and uncles and stuff, you know, like so that's, it's just really crazy.
Yeah, her life is wild.
She's been a lot of trauma. Now her mom has passed a few months ago, and it hurts for her, but she's like, also it's like, it's like a chapter closed. That's closed. It was a battle all of those years in the press. And it's like, now she feels like she can finally talk about it on the show.
Yeah, talk about it. And she's got a lot of shit going on too with her son and
Which like, it's just so upsetting for us.
And also
yeah.
I would imagine for her and.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think she's upset. I mean, she pulls out a Louis Vuitton. I don't even know what it is, like a G-string, and is like, sorry, I'm using this as a Kleenex. Actually, I do think it's a Kleenex. And then like, Big Joe is like, that's not a Kleenex.
Yeah,
like, she's like, yeah,
it's like a pocket square.
Yeah, but it also has fringe and beads. I don't know.
It's a Kleenex.
Mary.
To Mary.
The mysteries of Mary.
It's a Kleenex to Mary.
Okay, so this is a really wacky storyline. It's very like Angie's so 80s, and like it's so funny that like her excuse for a scene with Heather is her cosmetology license has lapsed, so she wants to get it renewed. So she's doing a bunch of like studying. So she's giving Heather a perm, like what? But without the permanent solution.
Which is not even a perm.
No, it's just curling her hair. So Angie tells her story. She's like, okay, you'll never believe what happened. Like, it seemed like everything was resolved with Lisa, right? But then I'm at my salon. Cute little gal walks in. She was Lisa's assistant. She wanted her to pick up all of the fresh wolf products.
This is so funny.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then she gets a text from Lisa after, you know, the cute little gal leaves with the products and says, $600 Venmo sent. I can send a cleaner to help you too. Sorry, your salon is so dusty. Lisa really is, these ladies are like, kind of, it's roasting the shit out of her. It's like she sets herself up with this. Like the comeback is so obvious and Angie doesn't take, it takes her like a beat and she's, you know, she's not like, the best with her words on the fly mm-hmm. either, but immediately she eats her up and is like, you should probably send the $600 to the other people who say you owe them money. I didn't say you owe me money. And my salon isn't dusty. Your products are. That's why they're dusty, because they've been sitting there for 2 years. It's like, Lisa, it's like you're trying to get them to like roast the shit out of you, dude. It's crazy.
It's hard to see her like this.
It's tough, but it's like, it's in the name of the show and getting I think it's for the good of the show that we're starting to slow down. We're starting to get more answers about different house. Like they're taking turns, like who will actually have to reveal a little bit of their life that wasn't agreed upon by the entire cast beforehand. You know, they got to keep taking turns. They don't want to get into Beverly Hills place where like any outsider, they'll just like attack them.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good teamwork, I think. It's just tough. I guess it's like we're all, and they've all been scared. Like, what if the star walks? We've got to protect the fan favorite and the star. And it's like, girls, believe in yourselves.
And everybody's a star, actually.
Everyone's a star. This is Lisa's season. She can handle it. She'll come back stronger on the other side. We all still, you know, anyone who loves and respects the art of Housewives as a art and profession knows Lisa is top tier.
She is.
But her comeback is not top tier. She says, at least I don't have to borrow money to take vacations and pay it back after using a card I shouldn't have used to begin with.
It's just that's how credit cards work.
Yeah, and I can't follow the syntax.
Yeah,
really?
No,
yeah,
I think just, she just learned how
paid off my
yeah,
car.
So it's like, yeah, what Angie pays on a credit card for her vacation, and then when she's done, she pays it back, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's called being financially
yeah,
literate.
Yeah, and she probably
like
gets,
supposed
like,
to
using
do...
this card, she probably gets miles. Yeah, that's like, how credit cards you're... literally work. At least I don't have to use a credit card and pay it back. It's like...
all my money, I pay for all my vacations in cash or for my checking account.
Yeah, it's like,
it's
wait,
like that's
bad. How credit cards literally work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even Heather is like, what? And Angie's like, I don't know. And she's like, I really thought that we were like good.
And
like,
now she's
you know,
like,
I...
she's trying to slam me for paying back my credit card bill.
And Heather's like, well, actually, it was fair because you talked about her kids' product line.
God.
You did talk about Fresh Wolf. And Angie's like, it wouldn't have come up. Like, but she's always bragging about, like, my kids, my hair is better than everyone else's. It's not. It's dyed bowling ball black. If you don't, if you go that dark, you don't have shine. So funny. She has, she's, that's like where she really shines in her reads is like she can, the library is open when it comes to hair care insults.
She's
she just goes
them.
Off the dome.
Because nobody else
dude.
Is thinking of them.
No, no. Like, honestly, she should do a beauty column for Bravo. Like, I would.
I wish they would bring back blogs.
Oh, I miss them. I just, in general, I wish like culture would bring back blogs. They'd be popular.
And not on Substack.
Not Substack.
Never Substack.
No. So, yeah, Angie's like, I want to be in a good place with her, but I can't say what I'll do when I see her. And then, Heather looks like, they take out all her rollers and she looks like Harpo Marx. And she's like, see, it's great.
I'm going to get my license back any day now.
So then we have the Brittany and Whitney scene that you and
I
both I
think
loved
this is one of
so
the
well.
Great moments in television history.
It's so fabulous. I love the back drop where they're in like a plant menagerie.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect backdrop because Brittany's like, I need plants that I can't kill because I have no maternal or caretaking instinct.
Orchid. They're at an orchid plant drop. Notoriously the most difficult plant to keep alive in the history of plants. And she's like looking at orchids like, I just need one that I can't kill. It's like, They started dying the second she walked into the room.
Yeah. yeah, after the RV trip, Brittany and Whitney have been tense. And then Brittany, the Itneys, and Lisa, apologized to Whitney, I guess. We didn't see it in the dinner because Whitney is so, or at the lunch, because Whitney is so the redheaded stepchild of the series.
Yeah.
Kind of like Brittany.
And she literally was like,
literally
now
redheaded.
I really am.
So we see the flashback to footage we never saw where Lisa is like, and I'm sorry, I went after your businesses. And Brittany's like, and because she said that, now I'm also sorry I went after your businesses on the RV trip. And Whitney is like, look, I'm sorry for what I said about you and Jared. That's not me. But are you and Jared even together? Like, I thought you broke off the engagement. And then Brittany's like, well, we did, but we're together. And Whitney goes, what? Just like, we're working towards getting engaged again. We're just like taking it slow in the name of our kids. Olivia just really wants me to be consistent and not choosing a man over her. And Whitney's like, wait, but okay, so then why wouldn't you just like stop dating him for like, you know, like a month, 30 days, just prove it to her.
Yeah.
And Brittany goes, ouch. A big ask.
Yeah, she's like, it's a big ask, but it's like,
I don't know.
No, but it's like, wait. And so Whitney's trying so hard to comprehend because she's like, wait, so your daughter put up this boundary. You literally have a hope that you'll have this relationship back with your daughter. And all you have to do was just not fuck a guy for 30 days.
And also admitting this on camera. Like, look, this has been Tamara's storyline for like 12
she's
years that like
you,
her daughter won't speak to, but she always pretends
she wants
to be a
to
good
talk
mom
to you, and she wants to have her mom in her life. She's telling you how to do it and you're like, oh.
And Brittany, but that's the it's like a lot of them are bad moms, let's be honest, but Brittany won't even like, she doesn't even know to pretend to have a maternal
instinct.
She's
just like staring at Whitney. And by the way, this is the part that's insane, not that Brittany is like, oh, whatever. My daughter said I could have a relationship with her, but I just have to not have a relationship that has been very problematic. She's jacking off a cactus.
Yeah, stroking it, like the spikes. And that's literally a metaphor for like the way that Brittany goes
and
through life.
And none of it is clocking for her.
Like reality is the spikes, and she continues to gently graze her hands across it, but still feeling no
this
pain because she's so dissociated.
My mind.
It's a just like a perfect subtextual
scene.
Doesn't even blink. And then like Whitney's like trying to explain, like, you know, like
having a relationship with your daughter is a good thing.
Like that should come first, you know? And Brittany's like, look, I want to be there for Olivia, but am I just supposed to sit at home alone, single for 30 days? And Whitney's like,
oh my God. Yes. And then Whitney's like, okay. She's like, okay, I didn't have a great relationship with my mom. And then we have one now, but it is really hard. And it's a mother-daughter relationships can be really difficult and complicated, but we have to do everything as mothers that we can, because you're her mom and she's the child. Like, you're the mom.
Yeah. And like, and she's like, she like grabs her by the arm,
shaking her like you're a mom,
shaking her like, be like, don't you know what this looks like? Don't you know?
And Brittany's still jacking off this cactus. She's just like,
yeah, she's like, I'll think about it.
And then Whitney's like, okay, is down, and she literally has to grab the cactus out of Brittany's hand. And this is not something that Lauren and I are making up. This is something that really happened. It really happened on national TV, just like we're saying.
It's such a Freudian metaphor for, no, not just reality, for Jared Osmond's penis. Like, it's barbed, it's weird looking, it's
like,
bad for
Brittany's
her.
Brittany's like, oh, this is perfect.
He loves me,
yeah,
he
no,
loves
but
me
it's
not.
Like, yeah, like, if she's like the worst kind of Goldilocks, like, this is one's just right, and it's trying to kill her. It's literally killing her, it's destroying her. And she's like, I can't stay away from this cactus for 30 days.
Like, I'd rather have this hurt me because all I have to do is just be around it all the time, dissociated, than actually have, like, my daughter plant that I love and take care of and have a relationship with. I mean, she's just
so
beautifully
wonderful.
Far gone.
I mean, I'm sorry, Olivia. And I'm sorry to Olivia. I'm sorry to that cactus. That cactus went through something. That cactus wasn't expecting that day.
No, that cactus will never
that
be the same.
That cactus is like, oh my God, what's happening? This has never happened without somebody screaming.
Yeah, I just think it's refreshing. That like that she's like a lot like Katie, right? Where it's like, you know, when she records the other housewives, she gets caught. Like, she doesn't even know to pretend to be a good mom. It's like, I really like, that's the new way to capture authenticity in reality TV, is like people who just suck ass at it. It's like, this is the way.
This is the way. And I want that cactus in the clubhouse or something.
Yes.
It's iconic.
And also, doesn't take a lot to take care of.
No, you can hurt it. You can do whatever you want.
You can hurt it. Doesn't need sunlight. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need water.
I can't kill this one. Put the cactus down. This is something I never thought I'd hear on TV. Put the cactus down. Be a mom. Put the cactus down. Be a mom.
Okay, so then, this scene was enchanting. Muzzy is back, who... Okay, I just want to make a little point.
I can't. These are difficult scenes. Oy.
So you notice how we have Muzzy on this season, but not Todd, and we still haven't seen the two of them in the same room together?
Muzzy's Todd.
I kind of think, what if Muzzy is like a Mrs. Doubtfire type Todd? Where it's like, I don't know which one came first, which one is the drag persona, but they're just trying to torture... They're trying to emotionally torture and punish Bronwyn, like, in various genders and relationships.
Whether it's Todd or whether it's Muzzy, they're both saying, like, you can't do this shit on yourself without my money, without Todd's money.
Yeah, don't think you're so special. Also, they have the same smile.
And that, it's no not smile. A smile.
It's no smile. Yeah. There are all three generations of Bobs are in the room. Gwen, Muzzy, and Bronwyn. And Gwen, Bronwyn's daughter, is going to bowling league, wink, wink, like she does every Wednesday afternoon with her boyfriends. And then Muzzy's like, oh, bowling league. And Bronwyn's like, no, it's like a code. I thought it was bowling league too. They just want alone time. And Muzzy goes, they don't get enough in the East Wing. And Bronwyn explains, Gwen is the same age that, like, I got pregnant with her at. Muzzy's like, well, I'm old generation. It doesn't bother you, so it doesn't bother her. She's copying your example. She's just so brutal. Bronwyn's like, well, Muzzy, I don't want any sneaking. And Muzzy's like, I've never seen that parenting work. And Bronwyn's like, well, don't you see, like, I still had sex when you were trying to stop me, like BYU was trying to stop me. And Muzzy's like, well, I knew you were being taught not to smoke, drink, or having premarital sex. And I would have put my head on the chopping block that you wouldn't do any of the three. And this is where we actually start to see a Muzzy smile. This is where Muzzy, I think this is the only time like Muzzy feels joy.
Mr. Burns.
It's very, it's like, oh, like once she's really on a roll, like making Bronwyn physically shrink into herself and die. This is like how Muzzy gets her lifeblood, you know? And Bronwyn is still like trying to make her look, she's still like so protective of her mom on camera. She's like, you are a fan of the tough love. Mm-hmm. And she's like, just like, if Gwen got pregnant, I would handle it differently. Like, you know, you wouldn't let me have a baby shower or anything. You know, you like, you didn't want me to feel happy. And Muzzy's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bronwyn tells like a horrible story of like, okay, also, this was a crazy revelation. She was at Baby Gap with her mom while she was pregnant because her sister was pregnant at the same time while being married. Isn't that, it's like a Mormon fucked up father of the bride too.
R.I.P.
And R.I.P. Diane Keaton. Rest in power suits. But she's like, oh yeah. So the lady's like, oh, what are you getting for your granddaughter today? So she's got like, it's going to be a girl or a boy to Bronwyn. And she's like, oh no, not for me, for my sister. My sister is pregnant. She's getting something for her baby. And then the sales lady's like, I'm so sorry. I thought you were pregnant. I'm so sorry. And then Bronwyn's like, oh no, I'm pregnant too. And the sales lady's like, oh, thank God. Well then, you know, do you want to look for something for her baby too? And, Muzzy's like, no. And I'm sure she smiled her witchy little smirky smile right then too.
Bye, you wicked witch. Wicked bitch.
Yeah, she and Gretchen would really get along. So, yeah, Bronwyn's like, you know, it's a little hard for me because, like, that you couldn't have known this, but that was my only pregnancy and you really, took it away like, want me to be unhappy. Yeah,
and it still really hurts and I still have to have, because you're my mom, I'm having you still live in my home.
Yeah, and Muzzy's like,
yeah.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault. You're that I made you miserable. Yeah. And Bronwyn's like, but you're the one who made it miserable. And she, and then Muzzy's like, well, do you know, she's really grinning ear to ear at this point. Do you know how miserable I was trying to
she's
hide
like the
it?
Grinch now.
She's full Grinch, except her heart is shrinking to an
excess. It's just a lump of coal.
And then Bronwyn like explains in confessional, like, my mom still thinks the person who was hurt most was her. And Muzzy goes into her monologue. She's like, daddy was working at the temple. I also just felt Gwen was just dropped off at my house like a daycare. What would have happened if I didn't take her? She would have gone to foster care. You didn't want her adopted. You always wanted to keep her.
To daycare, but you're her grandmother.
Yeah, like, and then Bronwyn, even then, after, even she's after this like, monologue, she's like, she's like, I have so much grace for you, like, you'd never had a rebel child, and Muzzy's like, especially the last child. Look, I know you're doing your best. Just because I don't say you're so wonderful, it doesn't mean I don't think you are. It just means I want to make sure you don't feel
too wonderful. I don't want you to
feel wonderful. Or too good. I'd rather err on the side of that.
No, it's like,
you know?
Muzzy's Brittany, but in another form.
But Brittany is such a light spirit.
Right.
She's not
okay,
hateful,
they're just not good,
you know?
At it.
Yes, Muzzy, well, Muzzy doesn't, yeah. They're both bad moms in different fonts.
Yeah.
You know, Muzzy, it's like, I also read something interesting about Mormons. So it's like, apparently, you know, the church is so mysterious, mm-hmm. but like a Mormon said on Reddit, they were like, because Bronwyn's dad was a temple worker, it's like they were probably like extremely Mormon.
Yeah.
And apparently when someone gets pregnant out of wedlock in a Mormon family, the grandparents aren't supposed to help raise it. The parents aren't supposed to raise it. It's supposed to be adopted into another Mormon family because there's too much sin polluting the current family
Jesus.
Tree. And so the child needs to be brought up in like a different clean Mormon household so that it can still like go to heaven and stuff.
Oh my Jesus of Latter-day Saints.
Oh my, yeah. Oh my Lord and Taylor. As the Mormons say.
Oh my Lord and Taylor. Lanta. Oh my Lanta. Hey, I got like 2 minutes I can.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so yeah, that's all. We'll talk more about that.
We'll talk more about
next
the
week's episodes. More about the cactus, and then real quick, Meredith and Angie final scene. Even though Meredith and Angie are no Laverne and Shirley, she says Angie has decided she is going to drag Meredith into a Lisa storyline, whether she wants to or not.
Schlemazel.
That funny. It's funny because that's what everything Meredith says sounds like. Schlemazel Hasenbeck, the husband back incorporated. So Angie explains the whole Lisa fresh wolf attack, and Meredith again says the party line: "You went after the kids, so it's okay.
Go after the kids' business.
Can't go after the kids' businesses.
Go after the kids directly, but don't fuck with their business.
Don't go after the business. Yeah." I mean, it's like, of course, Meredith is going to uphold this because, like, she still gets mad if people go after Brooks Marks, who's, like, 37 at this point. So Angie's like, look, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, when we weren't in a great place, Lisa, you and me, Angie and Meredith, Lisa was telling me to Google things about your family members, their names, bankruptcies, and some shoplifting charges to intimidate you to stop bringing up my name. And Meredith pretty much like doesn't believe
her. She's just trying to drink her coffee looking for
she's like, I just want to not have to. It's like disengaging. Yeah. It's like she wants a way to not have to deal with the storyline.
She's told us that many times. I just want to disengage.
Yeah, she does not want to fight for her paycheck. She probably knows Lisa did this, but she's like, I don't even give a shit. Like,
I don't give a shit.
She's like, it's just hard to believe that's true. I'll have to talk to her about this. I'll go take a bath. And then Angie's like, yeah, go talk to Lisa about it. You can cross-reference. I'm okay with it because she said it. Which, like, clearly she did.
And then Meredith's like, if she said it, it's not okay.
Schlemazel.
So funny that she made that reference, too. I was like, she could be on our podcast with this old-ass rip.
She's so 80s. Like, even her confessional look. I'm like, I think that's why, like, Andy has such a soft spot for her, because he's such a 80s soap opera, you know, Knots Landing type mm-hmm. guy. And she's so, like, 80s Greek heiress coded. Yes. Yeah. Like, and she's like always, she's been Cinder Snowflake like second year in a row. She's, the always a bridesmaid, always in a bridesmaid's dress from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Never a bride. Love it. Okay. Well, that's going to be it for us students. We're going to have an emergency episode, regarding the Osefo case and, the allegations between Julia and Adriana.
Julia.
We might touch on Julia, all of the exciting Bravo news. And we'll see you next week for more recaps.
With a special guest. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bravo.